on the subject, God has a better plan. Now, things seldom work out exactly like we plan. Have you ever had that happen to you? Even with your best laid out plans, things that are unforeseen to us happen, and our plans can change with a phone call on a moment's notice. And so today we're looking to the Word, and we're learning today to trust God for things to work out better with His plan than it would with ours. That's all right to make a plan, but God has the final word. In James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." Now we all make our plan. But no matter how great our plan is, God has a better plan, and it is the Lord who directs our steps ultimately. Now, having a plan is a good thing. Let's give credit to a good thing before we devour it totally this morning. It's a good thing to make a plan. There are many people who actually believe that success will magically appear with no effort, no determination whatsoever, no discipline, no sacrifice, no purpose, and no goal. Do you have anybody living at your house who feels that way? That just suddenly and magically, life's going to work out wonderfully for them, even though they live a random life and put no effort, have no plan. The Bible does say it's a good thing to make a plan. A lot of people, if you don't have a plan, then it's like rolling the dice and whatever happens, happens in life. Having a plan is a good thing. It's a spiritually responsible thing to do, to have the best plan. Even Jesus said, before you start to build a house, sit down first and figure up the cost. Count the cost before you break ground on that house. And make sure your plan considers the fact that the total cost is going to be so much. Jesus said, do that. Get your plan together so that you won't be embarrassed by building half of the house and then realizing, uh-oh, I don't have enough to finish. And you need to finish what you start. Jesus was a plan proponent. It's okay to have a plan. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, again, the wisest man who ever lived said, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. This describes somebody who is so lazy, so effortless, they don't even bother to have a plan. The Bible talks about good stewardship and planning with your best plan is part of that. However, now page 2. Regardless of how well laid out your plan might be, we need to realize today that God has a better plan. It's happened in my life so many times. It's happened in Scripture so many times. In the book of 1 Kings in the 17th chapter, we read about the prophet Elijah. He was the prophet, the mouthpiece of God for his generation. And the Lord spoke to him and said to him, I want you to move to a city called Zarephath. It's near the city of Sidon. And God said, even though there is famine in that land and people are starving to death there, God said, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. The King James Version says, I have commanded a widow there. And so the prophet Elijah obeyed the word of the Lord, gathered himself up, and moved to Zarephath, knowing that God said, I've instructed a widow to feed you. As soon as he gets into the city, the first person he sees is a widow gathering sticks. And Elijah went up to this widow and said to her, will you please give me some bread and water? Now this lady had already seen some of her neighbors die from starvation. Imagine it. We have no clue. There are millions of people in the world who are hungry this very hour, but I don't remember the last time I was ever hungry. I make sure I don't get hungry because I eat before I even get hungry. But imagine what the culture would be like. Imagine what your community would be like if two or three doors down from you, a neighbor died simply because he didn't have enough food to eat. There was drought and famine in the land, and her neighbors had already started dying from starvation. And here the prophet shows up and says, would you go make me some bread and bring me some water to eat? And in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 12, but she said to Elijah the prophet, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. Listen to what she said. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Now, here's a woman who's already had challenges in her life. First of all, she was widowed, obviously, at a young age. Her husband had died and left her as a single mom to raise their son all by herself. That's quite a challenge in her day and in our day. The woman had this on her, and then now, even though as bad as her life had been, it was getting worse because of famine. Neighbors are dying, starving to death. And she had one meal left. She said to the prophet, I only have a handful and a little bit. A handful and a little bit. And you're wanting, you're asking me for what little I have left when I only have a handful and a little bit? Her plan was to eat one last meal, and her plan was that after that, she and her son would die. That was her plan. That was the best plan she could come up with. But she learned that God has a better plan. As bad as things had been for her, it turned around in a day. Somebody's been holding out for so long, things have been so bad and getting worse. You may have just gotten even more bad news, and you're in no mood to deal with anybody because your life is all messed up. And your plan hasn't worked out as well as you thought it would. Well, God has a better plan. He had a better plan for this widow. Her plan was, I'm going to cook one last meal. My son and I are going to eat it. And then, like our neighbors down the block, we too will die of starvation. Now, that's a low-level plan right there. Can you imagine, and I thought through this, how that those who are on death row, counting the days and then the hours until they are executed, but they're always offered one last meal. I wonder if her emotions, this widow and her son, were anything like a death row inmate eating their last meal. They would both know in both cases, this is the last meal I'm ever going to eat. After this, the next major event in my life is death. And that was a horrible plight for this widow lady and her son. Things had been so bad. And it reminds me, this is one of my favorite sayings. I just live by this. I've seen this principle work in my life a few times, and in some of yours. I know some of you well. I know what you've been through. But here's the saying. When God wants to do something great, He starts with a difficulty. But when God wants to do something truly magnificent, He begins with an impossibility. He's a better planner. He's a better planner than we are. Now, this widow lady obeyed the prophet's instruction. I only have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil, a handful and a little bit. That's all I got left. And what I was planning is to bake one more meal and my son and I would eat, and then we would both die like our neighbors have already died from starvation. But I will go and bring you some bread and water and serve you first. The prophet told her, if you'll do this, your cupboard will never be empty as long as you live. You will never run out of flour and never run out of oil. Now, I think we need to notice this because it is important. Some of you are waiting for the blessing to come. You're waiting for the blessing to come. The plan you have made includes, but God's got a blessing on the way. I'm counting on it. I'm planning on it. And it's important to notice that God had provided this widow with enough food to eat until her blessing arrived. God will meet your need if He has to do it one meal at a time until your blessing, the blessing that comes on you and overtakes you, finally arrives. So this woman had her needs met one meal at a time until she obeyed the instruction of the Lord and followed God's plan instead of hers. If she had stayed with her plan, she'd have been buried in the grave, she and her son. But God had a better plan, and she went with it. And it was, the prophet was right. She obeyed the word of the Lord, and her cupboard for the rest of her life was never empty. It was supernaturally replenished and refilled. God has a better plan. Now, in Acts chapter 3 is another story of a man's plan who got changed because his was minimal and low level, and God had a much better plan. And it's the story of a man who was born lame. He was that way from birth. He had never taken a first step. Those of us who have children, how excited are we when our baby finally takes that first step? This man was over 40 years old and had never taken his first step. And his lifestyle was such that obviously his parents or friends would carry him every day and sit him at the gate of the temple in Jerusalem, where the religious people in and out all day to the temple, would pass by him and would have compassion on him. He would wake up every day saying, today my plan is, I'm going to get my friends to carry me and sit me on my spot like I did yesterday, the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. And I'm going to rattle my cup. And I'm hoping that, again today, enough people will have compassion on me that I'll be able to bring home a few coins in my cup. That was his plan for that day, and that was his plan for every day for the rest of his life, until God proved he had a better plan for that man. And it happened on a day when Peter and John were walking by him on the way to a prayer service at 3:00 in the afternoon at the temple. And as they walked by him, the man was begging for money. In Acts chapter 3, verse 5, it says, the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. The next few verses goes on to say that the man started walking and leaping and praising God and went into the temple, and everybody that was in the temple knew who that man was. They had passed him every time they would go in and out. They had just walked past him again, him shaking his cup, wanting somebody to drop in a coin. That was the plan he had for his life until God showed up and proved that he had a better plan for that man. The Bible says that all the people were absolutely astounded. The Amplified Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement. Now, this lame man's plan was to sit all day again and hopefully go home with a few coins. But God had a better plan. And we need to be reminded of this. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, we think down here like this. God's thoughts are way immeasurably, so much higher and greater. However, now, this is Old Covenant. The prophet Isaiah gave us this revelation under Old Covenant restrictions. And while that's still true, the New Covenant gives us a little more than that. Oh, yeah, the Bible says, eye has not seen, nor has any ear heard the things that God has prepared to them. But the New Covenant adds to that. It says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. So why would we love living under limited benefits of the Old Covenant when the New Covenant, God has a better plan? There are times in my life when God's plan was better than mine. And I like to plan. I'm working on stuff planning. But the greatest blessings I've ever had in my life is when God showed up seemingly out of nowhere with a much better plan than the one I had. And I'm saying I've had some big plans. Not quite as big as Richard Branson, who's going into outer space today. Not quite like that, but there are times I would have settled for less, but God gave me more. Isn't that your testimony? I would have settled for less, but God gave me more. I had planned for less, but God had planned better than I had. He has a better plan. I would have settled for less, but God gave me more. I want to share a couple of personal testimonies about that before we close and say something you've probably never heard me say before. During the year we lived in Latvia, the greatest year of our life, we had no cable TV. We had no TV that we could understand. We had two channels. We didn't understand either one of those languages. We cooked like our grandparents did 75 years ago. The way we shopped, the way we got around town, it was primitive, but it was the best year of our life. The best year of our life. And while we were there on our one-year assignment in Liepāja, Latvia, starting a church in that city of 120,000 people, well, you all knew about that, but it was such an exciting year. People were so hungry for the gospel. They were free to ask about God for the first time in a couple of generations. And we just happened to be there at the right time. And every week, hundreds and hundreds would come to the auditoriums we rented. And we rented the largest auditoriums in town. And people born again every week. And the buzz on the street was about a new church in town. And God is changing people's lives in this city. I mean, it was just exponential. And it was over our heads. It was just a wonderful thing. Three or four times during that year, we, with our translator, drove from Liepāja, Latvia, down the Baltic Sea coast, crossed over into Lithuania. It was only about an hour and a half drive. And we would go to the first city in Lithuania, Palanga. And we had never heard of that city, but our translator said, we'll go there one day and shop because you get a better exchange for the U.S. dollar in Lithuania than you do here in Latvia. And so we went down for the first, and as soon as I walked into that city, Palanga, Lithuania, something inside me leaped like I was pregnant. My baby jumped in my fifth month. And I was in the middle of the year of seeing God do great things. I mean, just changing people's lives. It was like fishing in a barrel. And I looked at that city and I said, oh God, I want to come here for a year. So from that day, my first visit to Palanga, Lithuania, my plan was, I'm 37. Now, I told everybody, I told the church and everybody, we're here for a year and then I'm going back. Okay, I'm going to do that. But when we get back to the States after this year, I'm not going to stay but about a month. And then I want to spend the next 30 years of my life. I was only 37. I want to spend the next 30 years of my life starting 30 churches in cities like Liepāja, Latvia. And number two now is Palanga, Lithuania. That was my plan. I couldn't see anything. I thought, my God, after my first year in Liepāja, Latvia, and as wonderful as that was, why would I come back to Florence ever? And then no offense. No offense to you wonderful people. I thought, it's so exciting over there. The harvest is over there. My God, Lord, give me 30 cities in my lifetime. Let me spend 1 year in each city, start a church in a city that needs a church plant. Lord, thank you for giving me that vision. But that was just my plan. Now, I told you I could plan big. I'm not going into outer space today. But I know what it is to plan big. I came home at the end of that year fully determined that I'm going to break the news to everybody in a couple weeks that we're out of here again, and Palanga, Lithuania is where we're, that's our next target city. Well, we got back to the States, and I never heard a trumpet. And I was frustrated a little bit. No offense, again. But over there, in the services, I mean, revival was in the city. And people getting saved by the dozens every week. On one particular Sunday, we baptized 65 new believers in the Baltic Sea. I mean, so many, and every day was an incredible day. And then to come back to USA, it was a hard adjustment. But I've never heard a trumpet to say go anywhere else. I was so concerned that I called my bishop, Houston Miles, and asked if I could meet with him. And I did, and I said, I want to go back. I want to go to Palanga next. I mean, my plan is to do it 30 more times, spend 30 years starting 30 more churches in cities like Liepāja and Palanga. But I don't hear the trumpet and I'm frustrated about it. Can you speak the word of the Lord to me? And our sweet bishop said, Carl, the first time I went to Russia, I felt the same way when I came back. I wanted to move over there for the rest of my life. But, he said, the Lord let me know I could have a greater impact on world missions by staying here and sending other people than I could have if I went myself. God had a better plan for me. I had a good one, but God's was better. And I heard our bishop say that. And I said, okay, God, then you're not finished with me. You're just making me stay at home base. I want to go, but okay, your plan is bigger. Your plan is better. So I'll send others. And over the years, we have sent out so many others, including Brian Hudson. Now, if I had gone, I would have reached one city at a time. But our homegrown missionary, Brian Hudson, is reaching the entire nation all the time, many cities. How many churches he has planted or helped plant in that one nation. And we have planted churches in so many nations and connected to world missions ministries. God sees the big picture, and as much as my plan was a good one, God has a better plan. Another testimony. We were down here at House Springs Road, and by the way, this year, I'm getting ready to party. I'm getting ready to put my party shoes on, because this year marks 35 years our church has been here. And back in the early days, we were on House Springs Road, and it was fine with all of us. And we could have stayed right there on those 4 acres on House Springs Road for life, and God was good to us then and always has been, always will be good to us. And we were settled in, and our plan was to build another building down there about the size of this auditorium and just stay there. We would have settled for that. But then the Lord began to speak, and again on this occasion through our bishop. He said one thing by way of instruction. We followed his instruction, and that led to the miracle of the lifetime of this church. The bishop said, he saw the picture, the artist's rendering, we were going to build one more building down there. And he just simply said, Carl, before you invest any more money on this property here, have you thought about getting a better location for the rest of the history of your church forever. I said, well, no. I had my plan. No, we've been around here. It's cheaper, quicker, easier, more convenient, more comfortable. We're already here. My plan. But he spoke words of instruction and wisdom, and we followed it, started looking for property. That led us to the Walmart property. We bought, actually we didn't buy. I mean, we had just started making payments on dirt. And my plan, well, for 5 years, we're going to do nothing but make huge payments on dirt before we can even possibly think about being able to start building a building 5 years from now. I would have settled for less, but God gave me more. Isn't that your story? Say that out loud with me, because it's true for you as well. Say it out loud. I would have settled for less, but God has a better plan. So we were amazed by the blessing of the Lord catching up with us. And you talk about the blessing of the Lord overtaking a church family. We were overtaken by the favor and the blessing of God. That changed everything when Walmart said to us, you know that piece of dirt down there y'all just started making payments on? We want it. And at first, I said, well, that's not my plan. At first, I said, no, we have a plan. We have a plan, and it's a good plan, and I'm going to stick with the plan. And then they said, well, we'll pay you four times what you just paid. I said, oh, God has a better plan. So we are here now. We were able to start building here immediately because my plan and our plan was so small and God's plan was so much better than ours. I'm telling you, whatever your plan is right now, and it's good to have a plan. We should have a plan, but always know God has a right to overrule our plan because God has a better plan. Stand up if you will. Everybody.